When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to The Daily Boy, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Celtic FC and your daily reminder that Celtic are top of the league. So, on today's Daily Boy, we'll have a look at what's going on at Parkhead. Hang on one second, my phone was ringing. Edward? The Daily Boy. Full rebrand to Parkhead Index. What do you mean Gag said no? I don't care if he doesn't support Celtic. I'm not supporting a team managed by Gary O'Neill. That's just the be-all and the end-all. Oh, that's a good point. Okay, well, I'll just restart this then. Hello and welcome to the Daily Red. How are we, folks? How are we? It is the Daily Red. It is your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC. But unfortunately, unlike Celtic, we are not top of the league. We are second, and it is only on goal difference. It's been a strange 24 hours, hasn't it? Yesterday, David Ornstein reported that Ruben Amorim had been approached by West Ham. He dropped in that it was unlikely that he would be the choice for Liverpool. He gave no reason or logic behind this, just as when he said it was unlikely that Roberto De Zerbi would be appointed, he gave no reason or logic behind this. He also has given no names of who it is likely to be. He is also the man that told us Michael Edwards would definitely not be coming back and was very adamant about the point that Michael Edwards would definitely not be returning to Liverpool Football Club. He also told us the club was going to be sold. So, you know, he is very good. Don't get me wrong. Ornstein is not a spoofer, but he's not infallible either, especially when it comes to Liverpool. If it was about Arsenal, I would believe everything he has to say because he's been connected to that club for a decade plus. But when it comes to us, I'm not sure I buy it, especially given the nature of the Athletic. I'm just not sure I buy it. I still think it will be Ruben Amorim as manager. Now, there was a report yesterday that Paulo Fonseca had been spoken to, or his agent had been spoken to. Look, it's a box-ticking exercise. He's out of contract. He's an okay manager. It's worth kicking the tires on. There is a report today suggesting that Gary O'Neill has been interviewed. There's been no verification on that from anybody else. It's just one outlet, and you know, look, the guy who said it was very clued in on the Henderson departure, so you know, you take it at face value for sure. I just don't see any possible way we appoint Gary O'Neill or Paulo Fonseca. Arne Slot's name has started to do the rounds, and he is very interesting. His team plays good football. He's done a very good job at Feyenoord. He's won a league title and a cup, got them to a Europa Conference League final where his team lost to Jose Mourinho's Roma. what is football has flaws, similar flaws to De Zerbi's football. And it's a ridiculously big step from the Eredivisie to the Premier League. I mean, we just need to look at what's going on in Salford at the moment with another bald Dutch man and how things are going for him at Manchester United. So I would have some quite significant concerns about Arne Slot. Who else's name is out there at the moment? Andoni Iraola, there's been a few people mentioning him. He's obviously done very well at Bournemouth this year. He did brilliantly at Rayo Vallecano prior to that. I don't see him being ready for a step up to Liverpool. Not now, maybe in 2 or 3 years, but just not now. Jose Mourinho's name is doing the rounds. And I assume it all stems from him being at the game on Sunday. I would remind everybody that he has not once but twice managed Fulham's neighbours and lives in the area. So probably just wandered along to watch the game. He's also been seen at Twickenham. I assume he's not a candidate to be the next England rugby manager. So I wouldn't pay it much heed. Zidane's name is out there, and I'd be very much on board with Zidane. At some point after the Jurgen announcement, I did a podcast on why Zidane should be a top candidate. And all of it still stands. He's solid. Tactically, not great, but Jurgen's not a great tactician by any means. He gets the best out of players like Jurgen. He's a great man manager like Jurgen. He's a great manager of egos. He's a good developer of young players, as we saw with the likes of Vinicius and Rodrigo. He's got incredible pull. I mean, Camavinga, Tchouameni, and Bellingham all went there because of him. He wasn't even there for two of them to sign. It was just his name, his reputation, his aura, them loving watching him when they were kids, watching YouTube clips of him. Jude fanboyed over Zidane and what he meant to him. There's a reason Jude wears five. You know, so while we might think Jurgen has pull, it's nothing in comparison to Zizou. So yeah, he should be considered. Thomas Tuchel's name has been brought up by a few people. He falls out with everybody. Like, he fell out with everybody at Dortmund. He fell out with people at PSG. He fell out with people at Chelsea. He's fallen out with people at Bayern Munich. His players tend to like him. Those above don't, and those above are the ones making this decision. So I think we can rule out Thomas Tuchel. Thomas Frank has been mentioned. I just don't see any way you can look at Thomas Frank and say, yeah, he's the fella for Liverpool. He does a great job at Brentford. He is a good manager. If West Ham appointed him, I think that's a good appointment for West Ham. That's a really good fit. But not for us. Who else was mentioned? Hansi Flick has been mentioned. Again, I just don't see that would be someone. Now, he's someone I do very much like. But Hansi Flick is 59. Like, there's just no way he'd be a long-term appointment. And while that's not necessarily a major issue, like, it doesn't have to be a long appointment. It could be someone for 3 years, and then you move on. I just don't see them going for Hansi Flick. 3 years older than Jurgen. And the German job was an absolute disaster. And to be fair, when you look at his managerial career, you really are leaning all the way in to his time at Bayern. You're not taking anything from Victoria Bimental in the 90s. You're not taking anything from when he was at Hoffenheim in the early 2000s and didn't have success there. He did really well as an assistant with the German national team, part of the backroom staff that won a World Cup. But I just... the only thing you could look at managerially is his time at Bayern. That's it. And he did an incredible job there. Absolutely incredible. But I just don't think it will be enough for them to go all in on him. Another name that's done the rounds is Niko Kovac. I think this would be absolutely awful, being honest. Did a very good job, to be fair to him, at Eintracht Frankfurt. Did not do particularly well at Bayern. I know he won a League and Cup double. Everybody wins a League and Cup double at Bayern. He did not do a good job there. He went to Monaco. He was mediocre. He was sacked. He went to Wolfsburg. He was less than mediocre and was sacked. So you'd be entirely, but it was Croatia manager for a while as well, and he did okay there. But you'd be entirely basing it on his time at Eintracht Frankfurt, which was still only like 42% win rate. So, and it's 6 years ago now. So I just don't see any possibility with him. I think it will be De Zerbi, or I think it will be Amorim. But if it's not Amorim, I think De Zerbi is one that will come back up in conversation with them. We know Richard Hughes likes him. He is a really good manager. He's done an incredible job at Brighton. I keep seeing people say, oh, well, like Brighton are only mid-table. And, you know, if you look at their numbers, it's mid-table numbers. They're Brighton. Of course they're mid-table. It's Brighton. Like, look at the Premier League table right now. And tell me which club is above them that shouldn't be. Arsenal, Liverpool, City, Villa, Spurs, United, Newcastle, West Ham, Chelsea. Like, who shouldn't be above them? Who shouldn't be above them? Who have they spent more than? Who do they have a higher wage bill than? Like, 10th is still punching for Brighton. When you look at the resources, when you look at the wage bill, then factor in the injuries that they've had this year. Like, it's been pretty catastrophic at Brighton this year in terms of injuries, which obviously would be good, a good training ground for taking over Liverpool, where we always have injuries. But if you look at their quote-unquote best 11. The one thing you'd hit him on is the goalkeeper. He's made a mess of the goalkeeping situation this year. Far too much Jason Steele, who is garbage. But Tariq Lamptey has started 9 Premier League games this year. Joel Veltman would probably be his first choice right back. He started 14 games and been on the come off the bench in 9. So he's missed 10 in total. Lewis Dunk has played 28. He's been awful. He has declined significantly. Igor Julio, who was brought in to replace Levi Caldwell, has only played 19 games. They've been relying heavily on Van Hecke, who's average at best. Purvis is stupid and missed 14 games this season.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit libertyshield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
So that's both fullbacks missing a ton of time and not very good centre-backs. Adam Webster is the other option there. He's played 10 games. He has been appalling. So he's had bad centre-back play, injured fullbacks, then in midfield. And remember, lost Colwill, who was vital for him in the back end of last season. In midfield, his starting midfield last year was Caicedo and McAllister, which was as good as any in the league, if not better than any in the league. Lost both of them. He's had to replace Caicedo with Billy Gilmore. Now, Billy Gilmore is a nice player, but this is the equivalent of you owning, let's say, an S-class Merc, and you leave it in to get something done on it, and they say, oh, we have a replacement car for you. And they wheel you out a Toyota Avensis, which is a good car, but it's not the great car that you were driving. Billy Gilmore's also missed like 8 games this year. Pascal Gross has been pretty much ever present, and he's a good player. But the other midfield role has been problematic. Baliba was bought to replace Caicedo. He's not ready to be an every-game starter. Jakob Mulder's missed most of the season through injury. Jack Hinshelwood, who is an academy player that he brought into the team, he managed 12 games before breaking his foot, and he's done for the year. So he hasn't had a settled group in midfield. He's had Gilmore and Gross, neither of whom would get a look in at Liverpool, and a rotating cast in the third row. So that's been unpleasant for him. And then you look at the wingers. His starting wingers are Solly March and Kaoru Mitoma. Mitoma has played 19 games this season, only 15 starts, and he's pretty much done for the year. Solly March played 7 Premier League games this year, and he's out for the season. So injuries to both fullbacks and both wingers. And then up front, João Pedro has had fitness issues. He's had to have him in and out of the team. Evan Ferguson hasn't kicked on. Now, some of that is on De Zerbi. Some of it is just young players not developing as quickly as people would like. So he's been forced to play a lot of Danny Welbeck. Now, again, some of that is on him. But Julio Enciso's played 7 games all season, and he's brilliant. 3 starts. He's been injured. So he's dealt with a ton of injuries. He dealt with 3 vital players, Colwill, Alexis, and Caicedo, leaving. And none of them were really replaced all that well. I mean, Baliba, I think, is going to be really good, but he wasn't ready. They probably should have bought Lucas Gornadoas from Red Bull Salzburg, who might just have been a bit further on in his development. They didn't. They brought in Mo Dahoud to replace Alexis. He played 9 games, 6 starts, had injuries, got suspended, and just didn't perform well. They also brought in James Milner, of course. And that's another knock on De Zerbi. Too much dross. Far too much dross. Like, Jason Steele, 15 starts, unacceptable. James Milner, 11 starts, 4 appearances off the bench. The 4 appearances off the bench, fine. The 11 starts, unacceptable. Adam Lallana, 11 starts, 12 appearances off the bench. The 12 appearances off the bench are fine. The 11 starts are unacceptable. And then Danny Welbeck, 17 starts, 6 appearances off the bench. The 6 appearances off the bench are fine. The 17 starts is not acceptable. He has given you 4 Premier League goals this season. 4 of them. And that's a good season for Danny Welbeck. So his love of dross, his reliance on dross, very similar to Jurgen for many years, to be fair. Did you know that Danny Welbeck hasn't scored more than 6 goals in a Premier League season since 2013-14, when he was at Manchester United? And he has managed over 6 Premier League goals twice, 11-12 and 13-14. So 10 and 12 years ago. And this fella's still getting paid significant change to play in the Premier League. I know he does other things, but Jesus wept. That's ridiculous. You're a Premier League striker. You've got to be getting me 10 goals. You're playing as many times as he does. He's had a bunch of injuries. The recruitment last summer wasn't now enough. Wasn't going to help them immediately. Igor Julio was a now move. It didn't really work out. Milner was a now move. It hasn't worked at all. And Mo Dahoud was a now move. It didn't work out. But those three cost a combined 14 million for a club that raked in, what did they get? 115 for Caicedo, 35 for Alexis, and 25 for Robert Sanchez. Plus, I think I saw someone say there was another kind of 15 or so between the other players that they sold. So you're looking at, what, 190 million there? They signed Verbruggen for big money for, you know, a young goalkeeper, but again, more of a long-term piece. Baliba cost big money, but again, a long-term piece. And then they went and signed Valentin Barco in January. Really good signing. And I think he might end up being kind of a Solly March replacement for them, but not quite ready to really contribute this season. So I just think he's sort of been let down by Brighton a little bit, but he's also had to deal with a massive amount of injuries all season long. Like, there's been no real time when he's had his first choice 11 available to him. And like last season, we watched them a ton. Everybody watched them a ton because they were so much fun. And that left flank of Estupinan and Matoma was just incredible. Absolutely incredible. It was probably the best flank that anyone in the league had. And yet, this season, they just haven't been able to play together. What have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Premier League games that they've played together. One of them only played in a half. So 5 decent runouts together in the Premier League. That's just not going to get the job done for you. And you look at the results in those games. They hammered Luton 4-1. They hammered Wolves 4-1. They beat Newcastle 3-1. They beat Bournemouth 3-1. Like, it shows the difference in having those two. They're such a threat together. But they haven't had that. They haven't had the Solly March, Joel Veltman combination down the right, which was really important to them in terms of their build-up play, in terms of how good they were at keeping the ball. And in Solly March also, remember last season how important he was in terms of goals. Last season, he got 7 Premier League goals for them. This season, he had 3 in 7 games, was off to a flyer. And then he gets injured. So, I mean, take Trent and Mo and Robbo and Luis Diaz out of our team, just gone. We're a different team. We're a different team. And replace this year's midfield with last year's midfield. Because it's about the equivalent. And we're just a different team. Where would we finish? And it is fun to think about what our team would look like under De Zerbi. Ali, he'd love. Trent, he'd love. Ibu and Virgil. I think he'd want one more centre-back because of Ibu's injury issues. I think he'd want a new left-back. I think it's obvious we need a new left-back. Alexis plus a new holding midfielder. Dominic as the 10 in the Pascal Gross role. Mo in the March role works, but if Mo leaves, Michael Olise would be absolutely sensational there. I think he'd want a new left winger. He'd like Cody as a 9 in quite a few games, I think, because of his ability to drop deeper and get involved in the build-up. I do think he'd quite like Cody Gakpo. I think he'd use Darwin in a lot of other games then. And obviously we've got the Jota option too. But I do think like our squad lends itself quite well to De Zerbi. But as with Amorim, as with if Klopp stayed, as with if anybody arrives, we need 3 starters. Left back, left winger, holding midfield for him. Left centre back, left wing back, holding midfielder for Amorim. If it was Zidane, I actually think Zidane would want 2 new fullbacks because I think he'd play Trent in midfield. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Trent in that like Tony Kroos type of deep playmaker role. Alexis in more that Modric between the lines role. Then he'd want a holding midfielder. We have our centre-backs. We have our goalkeeper. I think he'd want 2 full-backs. An attacking one and then more of a conservative one. And then an attack. It would be very easy to see Mo doing the Cristiano role, but obviously from the right rather than the left. Dominic in the other role, which would have been Bale or Asensio, that more ball carrier, long range shooting role, but switched to the left rather than on the right like he had it at Real. I don't think he'd like Darwin. I think he'd want someone like Isak as his 9. So I think he might want 4 players. But if we wanted someone that would definitely get the best out of Salah over the next 3 years, Zidane does make a ton of sense. Like he got everything Cristiano had left over those 3 years. Cristiano was never the same after those 3 years. Like I know he scored goals for Juventus. He wasn't in any way a net positive outside of his goals. He was a liability. He would stand around. Zidane had gotten every last drop he had left that was going to be positive for a team. Juve got worse every year he was there. Zidane won Champions Leagues with him. So I think he'd get a lot out of Mo, but I think he'd want a different 9. I think he'd want someone a bit more cultured in terms of touch, build up, smooth in terms of their ability to link things. Not as inconsistent as Darwin can be. Someone like Isak. So that would be fun. I also think De Zerbi could get a lot out of Mo. But he would be playing him in a 4-2-3-1. But like, you look at what he's gotten out of Solly March, you look at what he got out of Berardi at Sassuolo. Like, that was incredible, because people were writing him off as a busted flush, and he turned him back into a star. So, you know, I do think there's options for us. I really do. I don't think it's going to be a disappointment. I hope it's not anyway. But if I had to bet, I would still bet that it's Ruben Amorim. And that a lot of this is just either box ticking or smoke and mirrors, because what did Amorim say? He wanted to focus on Sporting. It's quite clear he doesn't want anything becoming too public before the end of the season, before the title's wrapped up, before they've won the cup. And the best way for Liverpool and Amorim to have an agreement and it not to become public would be for Liverpool to, quote-unquote, look at other targets and him to maybe shop himself around a little bit as well. On AnfieldIndex.com, soon obviously to be rebranded as ParkheadIndex.com, there is a piece about Gary O'Neill, a piece about Fonseca, another piece about Fonseca, a piece about David Lynch talking about the impact of fatigue on recent performances. There is a tactical deep dive. And then podcast-wise, we are absolutely rolling this week. Monday lunchtime, David Lynch and Dave Davis. Stat Me Up, Ben Boxick and Dave Davis. Scouser Tommies, Jim Boardman and Jay Reid. And rumours are there might be a second one this week. So the message has gotten to Jim. We want more, Jim. We want more of this. And Rival Recon for the Everton game is also out. There will be a scouted. It will be recorded later today. Young Matchett is a very busy man, so we have to work around schedules. So he will be available later, and we will get that recorded and out for you this evening. And that's it. Thank you, as always, for listening. I will see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's game day. It's Derby Day. All the nerves. Good luck.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at AnfieldIndex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.